Support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. And by Wyndham Garden Lafayette.
From Chopsticks Restaurant in Lafayette, we're out to lunch with creative business consultant Aileen Bennett. It's business, Acadiana style.
Hi, I'm Aileen Bennett. Welcome to Out to Lunch. One of the unintended consequences of the cell phone-fueled social media world that we now live in is the history that we are writing for ourselves. If you store your photos in the cloud, you'll frequently get offered the chance to look at your photos from this day 1 year or 5 years ago. Facebook constantly shows us and our friends the pictorial histories of our lives. Because we're pretty much all connected to the world and to each other like this, we no longer need zeitgeist analysis like Rolling Stone magazine or BuzzFeed to explain the trends to us. We can see for ourselves the trends that are happening around us. Two of the signpost trends marking our current moment are the rise of CBD and the pushback against social media to try and get social media to work for us rather than the other way around. My guests on Out to Lunch today are both part of the creation of these trends. Christy Hebert is a co-founder and operation manager of Cypress Hemp. Cypress Hemp is a farm-to-consumer CBD and hemp company. Christy and her partner farm cannabis. They process the plants to manufacture CBD health products. They also use the cannabis plants to manufacture hemp, which they then use to make a line of hemp-based sustainable clothing. Christy Hebert, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Andrew Bryson is CEO of Mosey. Mosey is a social media app that connects you with a group of friends for a single specific purpose, interacting with them in the real world. You might think of the Mosey app as a kind of goal-directed group texting that's a two-way street. You can tell a bunch of people where you're going, and the places you're going can tell you when would be a good time to come by, say when they're having a food or drink special. Or a band you like can tell you and your friends when and where they're playing. Mosey is available as an app for both iOS and Android devices. Andrew Bryson, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Christy, your company Cypress Hemp is different from most other CBD and cannabis-based products around here. You grow your own plants on a farm in Virginia. Most farmers harvest their crops and sell them to other people who process and distribute them. You don't do that. You process and distribute your own agricultural product. You turn your plants into both CBD, which is primarily a liquid or a salve, and hemp textile products, which are clothes. This seems like a complex operation. You're a farm, a multi-product manufacturing company, and a distributor. You've built this company during a period when hemp and CBD manufacturing and sales have veered between the uncertain and the illegal. Now things seem to have got straightened out with federal and state laws. It looks like you might be in exactly the right place at exactly the right time. But building this business must have been quite a gamble. It seems like it would have been less stressful to have done this in a state that's more hospitable to the cannabis industry.
Absolutely.
What made you base this here in Louisiana?
Part of my experience was after I graduated in biological engineering, I went to do research in Kentucky for the Hemp Research Foundation. And so I went to a state that was kind of replicated Louisiana, conservative, yet I wanted to know, like, why so many people embrace the hemp plant. And so truly what I saw was this grassroots support, and it was all about agriculture and the farmer. And so that's truly where my passion stems, is that I felt Louisiana being an agricultural state, that just not having access to these products just didn't make sense. And I personally grew up on a farm down the bayou in Cutoff, Louisiana. And so I just felt that, you know, someone in Louisiana really needed to speak up. And just as you mentioned before, it was a risky move, but you know, a lot of people may not necessarily want to put their face on the front of it, but I just felt, you know, someone needed to help to remove that stigma. And so I felt Louisiana was the perfect place where we could actually change a lot of minds.
And it's beginning to pay off big time right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're just so enthused of how the laws have recently changed and how many farmers and just citizens who you would never think in Louisiana are receptive to the products and just hemp in general.
I have so many questions. Let's bring Andrew in. Andrew, your app Mosey is one of the pieces of technology in the category known as the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail of technology is linking the online world to the real world. It's why Amazon bought Whole Foods. It's why Walmart is building an online presence. And in the most extreme example of all, it's why Facebook wants its own currency. At the same time, on the social media side, developers are looking for an app that can harness the power of social media so that it has a practical application beyond making us feel like everybody has a more exciting life than me. Mosey seems to deliver on both aspects. It lets a group of friends coordinate their social activity in the real world, and it lets bars, restaurants, and musicians tell you when and where to find them. So it delivers the good life to you in the real world. I can see that Mosey could be very successful if you can get enough people to find it. In a world of a billion apps, how do you develop an app in Louisiana and get it out into the world?
So what we've done is we've just worked kind of grassroots with local establishments with our connection of bars, restaurants, entertainers, musicians. It's something that's been wanted in the industry for a very long time. And then as well, just partnering with different, you know, Greek organizations. It's been pretty easy to, during our testing phase, get people interested. And now we're just going and kind of pushing a little bit more as we're refining and developing it.
So do you have competition out there? Is anyone doing the same thing?
You know, there's always competition. I don't think people have the same point of view on where we want to go. But what we see is there's, you know, there's apps like Meetup, which is like very much planning based. There's obviously WhatsApp and Messenger apps. There's things like that. But what we're trying to do is build a consolidated approach. One app that puts all those things in one place. And that's where we're different.
I love that you're both very homegrown. So, Christy, can you grow your crops here yet?
So that's what we're super excited about. By 2020, we can plant hemp in Louisiana soil. And Louisiana's recognizing it just like any other agricultural commodity, like strawberries and sugarcane. So yes, cannabis, hemp will be able to be grown, but the other form of cannabis, marijuana, is more so restricted and completely separate. And so that's
run
by the
state. Can you explain in a nutshell the difference? I know you're expecting this question, but we're all still confused.
Oh, absolutely. So this is the most common misconception, but yes, both hemp and marijuana are cannabis. But what considers a hemp plant is any cannabis plant with 0.3% and below THC. And so it's basically that threshold to where there's no psychoactive properties and it's in such a small amount that you cannot get high.
So it's completely safe, and it's safe to wear. Nobody's going to get high from wearing.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, so if you're doing hemp seeds, that's the protein or the food, and then the fiber, that's not going to have CBD or THC.
So if you're growing a field of hemp, people can't get high by going and setting fire to it.
No, honestly, you could smoke an acre of hemp and you wouldn't get high. Okay. Yeah, no. It does look similar, but they may be disappointed if that's what they're looking for if they find a hemp field.
So where was Chrissy's got a product outside that she's kind of educating Louisiana about? Andy, you've already educated Louisiana. How do you grow outside of the state, or do you want to?
Yeah, we definitely want to grow organically out of the state. It's really just different culture points. So much of the app is finding things to do. And so people travel, people move, and so you don't ever feel disconnected from the things that are going on near you. You know, we went to South by Southwest, for instance, you know, last year and just visited. And there's so many unique things to do in, you know, Austin. And it's kind of the inspiration for the app is just to put those in one place.
So if you're planning to, say, grow a city at a time, say Austin, do you then need employees in Austin to find the information that you naturally know about Louisiana?
Not really. The way we develop the app, we are able to use a lot of, you know, just data scrubbing from things that they're already putting out there. And the most important thing is the consumer content, the user content. So what we have is, because it's free and easy to just download, venues put stuff on there, bartenders put stuff on there, musicians. So we're going for, in the same way that Waze is kind of community driven, we're going
You say there's a crash here and Waze
exactly.
knows about it.
I could definitely see just traveling. I've traveled alone a lot too. I could see that being really beneficial and going to a city and be like, what's going on tonight?
Yeah, just hop right in. Just, you know, don't miss out on what's going on near you just because you don't know.
Christy brought up a point. She travels a lot. Does that work if you don't have friends in the place? Because, you know, you rely on people you're connected with. How can Christy go to, say, Austin and trust a bunch of strangers to tell her where to go?
And so that's where we have, like, at the bottom of your home screen is suggested for you, where it just pulls proximity-wise what locations are near you. You know, we ask you some basic preferences when you download the app just to kind of get a feel for it. You don't have to put them in. We can still show you things.
So it's like Amazon, you bought this book, so you'll like this book.
Exactly. And that's a large part of what we're developing, is always improving that feature where users give us, you know, guidelines on what they are looking for, so it's suitable for them.
So, Christy, let's get to CBD. What are these magical powers? People talk about it. Once they take it, they love it. Tell us what it does.
Right. So CBD is one of hundreds of cannabinoids, but THC and CBD are just the most popular and well-researched right now. But what CBD is a phytocannabinoid. And what that means is a plant-based cannabinoid. And so essentially every human body has an endogenous cannabinoid system. And so it's a great way, if you're deficient, to supplement that system or to just keep you healthy. So essentially at the root of it, what CBD is doing is helping to keep your systems in homeostasis. So it helps you with chemical balance. And so that's why you may hear this long list of ailments surrounding the topic. And it's essentially because when you're in chemical balance, then, right, you don't experience all those secondary and tertiary problems.
And you found this because you had an accident.
Absolutely. So my freshman year in college, I was actually a pedestrian, and I got ran over by a drunk driver. That left me completely with a shattered pelvis. I was 18 years old, unable to walk, and I was in a wheelchair for over a year. And I've always been someone who's really holistic. I don't even take Advil. So you can imagine all of a sudden being in a wheelchair, I can't even move my toes, and then having a morphine pump really wasn't my ideal situation. And so I really started to seek, so this was in 2012, way before this big craze happened. And so I started to seek out more so holistic alternatives for my pain management, inflammation, but not only like my physical health, but my mental health too, because that was a really struggle to get through. And that's when I discovered CBD and have used it pretty much every day since.
So we hear these stories, but is there science to back this up?
Under the 2018 federal recognition that hemp is an agricultural commodity, you'll see so much more research come across. But yes, you know that America as a whole may say that cannabis has no medicinal value, but there's a lot of testimonial, anecdotal evidence there and research in other countries for sure.
So both of you have different products, but you're both in effect startups. So let's talk financing. So how's Motzi being financed at the moment?
Currently with me and my partners, we financed on our own. We've, you know, developed what we could on with our own, and then just bootlegging it.
So are you making money at the moment from?
No, we're not implementing a revenue model at this point. Our main focus is just to keep refining the app and then to attract users and venues to the app.
So it's freemium at the moment with a chance to then you want people to pay eventually?
Yes, it'll always be free, but later on down the line we'll just add features that'll be purchasable. The same as like LinkedIn, for instance. You know, you're always having your free basic LinkedIn. We'll never take away anything that you have now, but we'll slowly add things that are more industry specific.
Like what?
So, you know, as a restaurant, if you want to track, you know, your engagement, if you want to, as a musician, if you want to take payments, if you want to take tips through the app, that kind of stuff. Things that not everybody necessarily needs, but will be helpful to the people that need it very much.
Christy, how are you financing? Because you have product and...
Yeah, there's a lot going on for sure. That's what excites me about hemp. It could feed you, clothe you, house you, and heal you. But
I like that. Yeah,
and no other plant could do that I know of. But so, yeah, as I mentioned, I had worked in Kentucky for the Hemp Research Foundation as a biological engineer and for the Kentucky KYHIA, which is the Hemp Industries Association. And then on top of that, I actually used to have an old company as engineer. So, yeah. And I used to make jewelry. So I've always just done different things and done my savings. And that's how we started Cypress Hemp. And from there, we were able to just put it all back into the business.
I say you have a crop, you have to harvest that crop, create it into hemp, make clothes, make products. What does your day-to-day look like managing all of that?
Yeah, so it's farm work, so putting our hands in the soil, but then also just typing on a computer, doing emails. But customer service is one of those big things. Like just before I got here, just a 30-minute phone call with a customer just trying to figure out a product. So my day-to-day is interactions with our consumers and just educating myself even more on the products themselves. Yep.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Aileen Bennett. I'm talking with Christy Hebert, co-founder of Cypress Hemp. They make CBD and hemp products. And Andrew Bryson, CEO of the app Mosey, which lets you coordinate social activities with friends. Christy and Andrew, this is the part of the show that we call the interview. She says in a stern voice, when you have a business, you have to hire people, either as employees or contract workers. In either case, you only have a limited amount of conversation with a potential hire to decide if this person's going to be a good fit for you and your company. Lately, there's been an interesting trend in the workplace interview. It consists on asking the other person questions that go beyond their resume. I have a list of 16 of these interview questions in front of me. I'm going to ask you each to pick a number between 1 and 16, and I'll ask you one of these questions. I want to know how you would expect someone to answer this question, and what would their answer tell you about them? So who wants to go first? Christy, we'll put you up first.
Number seven.
Why are manhole covers round?
Manhole covers are round because a circle is the strongest shape. That's honestly what I would want someone to say because, yeah, I'm an engineering background, so circle's great.
And you would like them to go straight to that logic.
Yes, I need a lot of logic for sure. I don't want someone that... I guess if I were to hire, well, we are in the process of hiring, and what we're looking for is just someone who kind of picks up on things without necessarily being taught. So, yes, that would be my answer.
Lovely answer. What if that person didn't know that? What if they...
Then I guess the second answer I would like was maybe because the pothole is round. Yeah,
so, she's going straight for that logic, and
I'm so logic based. So
I love that because that's exactly what you need in your employees. Andy.
All right. 12.
If you could be a superhero, what would you want your superpowers to be?
I would look for somebody who had, I mean, working in a team. You know, so a superhero that works on a team. And preferably somebody who can stand on their own, though, at the same time. Like a unique skill set, not the typical Superman, Batman, but something just a little bit different. I don't know what it would be, but I would just kind of maybe be a little off put by just the most generic of answer, if that makes sense.
Okay, what's next for both of you? You're both in an early growth stage. Where does this go from here? Let's start with Andy this time.
So right now we're just in a feedback loop. What we do is we... make changes to the app, get feedback. So most of my day is spent looking at the app, analyzing what people are using.
Where do you get feedback from?
From our users in the app. We have a feedback button where, you know, because we're still growing, just they can tell us what they like, what they're using, things that they think would be cool implementations to help them go out and do things.
Let me ask you the hard question. Is this just an app you're creating? It's that fake Silicon Valley money. You're going to get investors and then you're going to walk away as millionaires, but no one's ever actually going to make any money.
Absolutely not. So that was actually when we first came up with the company. You know, it was actually a drive back from Lafayette. Nestor, my business partner, and I were talking. And we were looking at the problems, the things that we would want to accomplish, but we specifically said we wouldn't want it to be one of those apps that doesn't have a viable purpose. And so that's why the revenue model is not based on kind of your typical app revenue model of, oh, we'll make money down the line. We're putting that off. We're deprioritizing that. But the long-term goal is to offer usable services in the app that make it a self-sustaining company.
I love that you use the word deprioritizing. I'm going to use that for putting things off from now on. Christy, I have a feeling that even though you're a scientist, you have big dreams.
I do.
Tell us about those.
Yeah, so essentially what's next for us, I'm in the process of starting a nonprofit. So I'm super excited about that because I just truly feel that we need to get people to realize that, yes, this is a green rush, but if you cannot keep your succulents alive at home, maybe you shouldn't be a hemp farmer. And so I want to create a lot of realism around the industry, and this is essentially an industrial revolution. So through the nonprofit, the Louisiana Hemp Industries Association that we're starting, We're excited to just be able to educate. We'll be doing a farm tour across Louisiana to educate farmers, and then also to help build supply chains, because you can have farmers in 2020 that grow the product. So say they grow hemp, but if there's no place to process it and there's no existing processing facility, it's one of those chicken or the egg situations. So we definitely want to bring good genetics and then help to establish that supply chain.
So you're that's building a nonprofit, but I'm sure you're hoping to get part of the profit from CBD. Is projected to be a $25 billion industry by 2025. So you obviously want your share of that too.
For the nonprofit, it's it's basically consisted of a lot of farmers. We've already decided on our board of directors. We have nominated, so it's actually consists of a lot of different hemp or retailers or farmers or even some potential processors. So it'll be nothing that goes back to me. It'll
but
all go back to
But separately, you're building a business to take some of the slice of money.
Or is it Cypress all nonprofit? Hemp?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You so want... my business is my business, yes. But the nonprofit is more so because I want people to feel comfortable and not necessarily have to do everything through my business. And then also we need to have that accessibility where a farmer knows who his processor is and where to get seeds. So it's greater than me, yeah.
You just described hemp as an industrial revolution. And that's we throw those terms away, you know, with apps and things. What do you mean by industrial revolution?
Oh, this is like the prohibition is over. If you really think about this time in history, it'll never happen again. And so even a lot of people, this is just a fun fact, but like the BMW 7 Series already uses hemp in all of its car doors. So a lot of people don't understand that there's hemp fiberglass replacements, and you can even use hemp as an insulation alternative, which Louisiana is really excited about due to the antimicrobial, antibacterial properties with a lot of humidity around here. So hemp is so much more than CBD. And so just helping America to – it is an industrial revolution. We don't even have a hemp paper facility, but it's in the works in Colorado right now, a processing facility being built. So this is as if you could imagine as if corn just started or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Andy, let's talk a bit more about Mosey. If this works well, won't somebody just steal it and that's already got a national reach?
I mean, that's always a worry, but I mean, you know, a company's not defined by just what you're putting out there. It's also right. The people and the vision behind it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if that was the case, there would only be one company doing all of the profitable things. And I think the problem right now is so many tech companies have overreached. And so if you look at Facebook, you know, I use Facebook all the time for one specific purpose, to stay in contact with my friends and family overseas. There's a million other facets of Facebook that it's just too dense. It's not custom build or purpose build.
So what makes your company different? You said it's the people, but what about the people?
I would say that we have this passion for creating real world experiences. So it's less about the click-through rate and the engagement on kind of those vanity metrics of how many likes a post got. We're like more interested in how many people showed up to this party because you threw it. How many people are walking by a restaurant and they miss that friend that they haven't seen in a couple weeks just happens to be in there, and they can stop by and be like, hey, you know, great to see you. Yeah, to enrich the real world experiences with social media.
So earlier I described your app as you're building the Holy Grail. Do you feel like you're building a Holy Grail, that nexus of the virtual and real world?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, you don't think about it in such grand terms because, you know, it starts with this fledgling idea. But then when you look at, like, the good it can do, then you do feel this immense sense of pride. And everybody in our company agrees and feels very strongly that this is the way social media not only will go, but has to go. If it's going to improve people's lives, because we have this ability to touch each other and reach out to each other in a way that's completely unprecedented. It's never happened before.
I absolutely agree with that. It's just so true. And even the way that we do business has been, because a lot of our generation, you know, we've kind of grown up with social media and this technological age, but we're getting to the point where we crave authenticity. And so I really think that exactly like you said, people are looking for something more in depth rather than just any other app, right? And so it's really about the people behind it and what you represent. So I'm 100% on board with that.
Which is exactly the same as your company. It's about the people behind it and what you represent.
Absolutely, yeah. Down to even our packaging. It's, you know, we do just, people tend to just appreciate what we do because we do biodegradable packaging that's also compostable. So, like, something like that. Right, we aren't the only CBD company in the world, but we even have people from California that you would think they can get it so easily, but yet they support us because of our bottom lines.
Not so many years ago, Andrew, if you wanted to build and market a social media app like Mosey, you'd have had to move to the East or West Coast. Christy, you have a farm. You're a manufacturer. You make CBD times. Christy and Andrew, you are amongst the people who are going to make those changes happen. Congratulations on your achievements today, and we'd really look forward to keeping up with both of your continued success. Thank you both for taking the time to join me today on Out to Lunch.
Thank you, it's my pleasure.
Thank you all.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Christy Hebert, co-founder and operations manager of Cypress Hemp, and Andrew Bryson, CEO of Mozey. You can find out more about Christy's CBD and hemp and Andrew's app by following the links on our website, krvs.org and itsacadiana.com. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Morrell. Our researchers are Anne Christian and Ali Coates. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on our website, itsacadiana.com, and on our It's Acadiana Facebook page. These photos were taken by Lucius A. Fontenot, and you can find out more about Lucius at laffoto.com. You can get this show and past shows as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, and you can find all of our podcasts at itsacadiana.com. You can also keep up with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and you'll find those links on our website, itsacadiana.com. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsacadiana.com and KRVS 88.7 FM. I'm Aileen Bennett. Thanks for joining me today. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the lunch table for more business Acadiana style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch is recorded live at Chopsticks Restaurant in Lafayette, where East meets Southwest, authentic Chinese cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients. The Out to Lunch Acadiana theme music, Encore Monsieur Nice Guy, is written by Mitchell Foreman and performed by Mitchell Foreman and Andre Michaud. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. Support for Out to Lunch Acadiana comes from the Wyndham Garden Lafayette, located off Pinhook near Cali's Saloon. Wyndham Garden Lafayette is a pet and family-friendly hotel with reception space for large and intimate events, free parking, free Wi-Fi, and a free shuttle within 3 miles that includes the airport and downtown restaurants.
Great Louisiana two-stepping, waltzes, and ballads. Tune into All Card here on KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles, and online at krvs.org with me, your host, Megan Brown, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m.
For 2 hours of true word sound power, classic heavyweight Rasta reggae radio, it's Jaman here on KRVS. Cecil here, chairing the Churchill Gathering every Sunday night from 9 to 11, or Saturday mornings 1 to 3 a.m. Heavyweight sound and lifted spirits guaranteed. Jaman here on KRVS, Lafayette Lake Charles.
It's old, oh yeah, but it's still relevant. Things change, but not our love of gold. Music gold, for sure. And the vault is full on the Old Gold Show. Classic and time-tested hits. There you sit, all by yourself. Take that nostalgic trip with us on Thursdays at noon on 88.7 KRVS. I'm Lee Kleinpeter. And I thank you.
On the next Hearts of Space, contemplative night music for piano by Kevin Keller, Ludovico Einaudi, Ralph Sermula, and a guy named Beethoven. I'm Stephen Hill, a program called Nocturnes on the next Hearts of Space.
Coming up later tonight at 11, here on KRVS.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and on the web at krvs.org. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.